I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture this morning is John 20, 19 through 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and took them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord, my God, and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and through believing in you may have life in his name. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Thank you, Connie. This scripture can be perplexing, and there's much in it. And oftentimes, as you hear me say about other scripture, it is true of this. Oftentimes, we overlook some of the most important parts of the scripture. But if we do an investigation of this scripture, we're going to learn something that I think is amazing. I hope you find it amazing. This scripture asks a very good question. It is a question I believe each of us would have a little different, if not wholly different, answer to. And that question is, what does it take for you to believe something? What does it take? You may recall I stated last Sunday we believe things based on various things. For example, if we are told, shown, if we read it, hear it, based on an authority or not, whatever. We all have our own ways of believing. Sometimes we believe because someone tells us to believe. It's all perfectly true. Interestingly, but not surprisingly, many of us believe strictly based on our upbringing, what our parents told us. They could be wrong, but we believe it because they said it. There are those who never look beyond what their parents have told them. There is no research, no venturing out, no personal questioning, just believing. And oftentimes, not always, that gets us into trouble. Especially when our parents, grandparents, great-grandparents were raised in a whole different era. There's different things that are going on, and we are not changing with the times. Of course, there are those who spend their lives testing what they have been told, looking for truth, looking for answers. Philosophers do this. Theologians do this. The curious and the unsettled. For some, it is a lifelong pursuit to find answers to the most difficult questions. They make it their life to do that. On this day, I would like for you and me to go on a venture to discover just what it is we believe, and more importantly, why we believe it. An honest pursuit, please. Be honest with yourself. Not one where we say, my dad told me and I believe it, my mother told me and I believe it, whatever. We don't want to go there. This is a pursuit of truth within us. We have seen where the woman went to the where the women went to the tomb, right? Encountered the men in dazzling white clothes, ran to tell the disciples that Jesus had risen, then found the disciples did not believe them. Now Jesus comes to the disciples, all except Thomas, who was missing, speaks with them. Then Thomas comes in after Jesus' visit. The disciples tell Thomas they have seen and spoken to the risen Jesus. And Thomas basically says, nah, you guys are pulling my leg. I don't believe it, and I'm not going to believe it until I see him myself and I touch him. Isn't that interesting? Think about that. We were talking about this in Sunday school. Let's say you're following Jesus, you go along, and this is coming from the Gospel of John, so this is all in the same story, and you watch as Jesus raises Lazarus from the tomb. You see it. Then the women come and they say, Jesus is risen. I don't believe it. Then they see Jesus. They tell Thomas. Thomas says, I don't believe it. What part of that ministry, what part of watching Jesus perform miracles aren't they getting? Keep in mind, these are people who go into the world to tell others so they will believe. The very people who didn't believe themselves. And with all that said, the disciples wanting proof, Thomas wanting proof, and others throughout history wanting proof of the resurrection, Jesus says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. If you believe, do you feel blessed? Well, what does it take for you to believe? Not just the resurrection, but anything. Anything. Did you know, and some of you may be in this category, there are those who still do not believe that we, NASA, went to the moon. Do you know that? There are people who to this day think that whole thing was a hoax. It didn't really happen. Why is that? Did you know there are those who do not believe the Holocaust ever happened? That it is a hoax just to get people to feel sorry for the Jews or to make Hitler look bad? My goodness, people, do we need a Holocaust to think Hitler was bad? Belief is an individual thing. Everyone has their own standard for belief. Some of us believe because we want to believe, whether it be because our belief makes us feel good about our own wants and desires, or it makes us feel motivated, or makes us safe. And yes, some of us believe because we've been told to believe. A lady asked her pastor to come and pray with her father, Bob. When the minister arrived, he found Bob lying in bed with his head propped up on two pillows, an empty chair set beside the bed. The minister assumed the old fellow had been informed of his visit. I guess you were expecting me, Bob, he said. No, I wasn't expecting you, said Bob. Who are you? I'm the new minister at your church, he replied. When I saw the empty chair, I figured you knew I was going to show up. Oh yeah, the chair, said the bedridden man. Would you mind closing the door? Puzzled, the pastor shut the door. I've never told anyone this, not even my daughter, said the man, but all of my life I've never known how to pray. At church, I used to hear the pastor talk about prayer, but it went right over my head. I abandoned any attempt at prayer, the old man continued, until one day, years ago, my best friend said to me, Bob, prayer is just a simple matter of having a conversation with Jesus. Here is what I suggest. Sit down in a chair, place an empty chair in front of you, and in faith, see Jesus in that chair. It's not spooky because he promised, I'll be with you always. Then just speak to him and listen the same way you're doing with me right now. So I tried it, Bob said, and I've liked it so much, I do it a couple of hours every day. I'm careful, though. If my daughter saw me talking to an empty chair, she'd either have a nervous breakdown or send me off to the funny farm. The pastor was deeply moved by the story and encouraged the old guy to continue on the journey. Then he prayed with Bob, anointed him with oil, and returned to the church. Two nights later, the daughter called to tell the pastor her daddy had died that afternoon. "Did he die in peace?" he asked. "Yes. When I left the house about 2 o'clock, he called me over to his bedside, told me he loved me, and kissed me on the cheek. When I got back from the store an hour later, I found him dead. But there was something strange about his death. Apparently, just before Daddy died, he leaned over and rested his head on the chair beside the bed." "What do you make of that, Pastor?" The pastor wiped a tear from his eye and said, "I wish we could all go like that." We live by faith, by belief, not by sight. Jesus tells us that. Why didn't Thomas believe? Seriously, after all he had seen and experienced with Jesus, why didn't he believe? So here comes an even more amazing thing. Listen to this. A week later, his disciples were again in the house and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Folks, if we're in this building and every door is shut and locked and Jesus comes and stands before you, do you need to touch him? How did he get there? Do you ever think of that part of the scripture? The doors are shut and Jesus just appears. I would have said "my Lord and my God" before it ever got to touching anything. He's standing right there before him, and there's no way for him to get in. That's a very interesting part of this passage. Thomas is there, the doors were shut, then Jesus came and stood among them. Now what the scripture doesn't tell us is, did Thomas really say that he needed to touch him after that? It just tells us that Jesus said, "Go ahead." I'm guessing Thomas is already saying, "Forget that. I'm a believer. I don't know how you got here." Jesus told him to. He said, "No, I know this is what you need. You touch." Thomas amazed, astonished, flabbergasted? We don't know. Doesn't tell us. But because our gospel writer knows we are very much like Thomas, he adds, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so you may come to believe Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and through believing, you may have life in His name." You see, our gospel writer is aware many people do not, that is, will not, believe unless they see signs or hear of signs being done. What signs do you look for to believe? Every one of us in this room, every one of us in this sanctuary, every one of us in the choir, you name it, every one of us has beliefs. But do we know why? What do we base that belief on? I'm willing to say that most, if not every one of us, has a different view of what marriage is supposed to be, of what child rearing is supposed to be like. Be some that say, "Well, you spank a child." Others say, "No, you never spank." Why do you believe what you believe? What takes you there? Are you looking for signs? Is that how it worked? If your mom and dad took you to church your whole life growing up and you just kept going but you never read the scriptures, You never investigated your faith. You just believe because your parents told you to believe. I thought about how we have become a nation of signs. Some of them are helpful and some of them are not. Some signs cause us to pause and ask, what were they thinking? Here's some examples. These are real signs, folks. I'm not kidding. These are real signs. Fishing for children only, limit 3. 3 children, 3 fish. Bottomless pit, 65 feet deep. Really? This is a sign on a balcony, no kidding. Please be aware, the balcony is not on ground level. Caution, blind drivers backing out. Antique tables made daily. Happy Easter, we rent handguns. Those are signs in our society. Those are not the signs of Jesus Christ. Those are not the signs that the disciples were looking for. They're not the signs that any sane Christian would look for. What do you look for? If you believe Jesus is the risen Christ, if you believe that He is the Son of God, what do you base that belief on? Does it take having signs for you to believe? Does it take saying, Jesus, I need you to stand before me so I can touch your wounds? Or is it on faith? Because the women told the disciples told Thomas, Thomas declared him Lord. And we believe. Is it enough that Jesus says, peace be with you, and lo, I am with you always? I'd like for you to spend some time during the week, during your life, asking what it takes for you to believe and what you base those beliefs on. Because I can tell you that when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, faith is the way to go. And you believe. Help our unbelief. If we're here today, we're here by the grace of God. Some people aren't here today. Some people are never going to be here. We get news each week of family members, friends that have passed away. We're here by the grace of God. I believe. Do you? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, coming before you today, we often find ourselves asking, is it true? Are the miracles that we read about, the miracles that we're told about, the miracles that occur even in our own lives, are they real? Are you the one who sent your Son into this world? Not only to remove our sins, but to give us hope, faith, and love. May we be agents of love and faith and hope. Fill us with your Spirit as we go forth from this sanctuary, that we may do it faithfully, that we may do it for your sake, that we may do it for your glory, that all may know you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.